You know what? Today is Happy Mother's Day. I wanted to share that with you. I didn't say at the beginning, but I do now. And you know, I was thinking about Mother's Day. Mine's been gone a long time. But you know, there's something special about mothers. And I'm going to say this. There's only certain things that you can discuss with your mother. You can't discuss any with any other, whether it's your spouse or your children or whatever. It has to be with your mother. And there are moments when I regret my mother's gone, because I always could talk to her about something that was unique about that. But that's no longer the case. And I know we do have, at times, we miss both our parents as well. Today, in the sermon, It's one of these sermons, again, where I'm trying to get across that our faith is so important and special. It must be protected and guarded. And the church today sometimes personifies the aura of doom and gloom. You listen to, I listen to sermons on the internet or the radio. I don't watch television that much, but I hear so much negativism, and you say, well, aren't we supposed to be, as preachers, preaching the good news? That's what the Greek euangelion means, good news. And it seems like it gets lost in the shuffle. And you know, perhaps the one thing that could be crucial to the matter is that of faith nurturing. Having our faith continually nurtured, because if not, it can grow cold. You know, many churches and preachers concentrate on irrelevant issues, but it really amounts to trite shallowness. You know, spiritual neglect is causing a famine of the soul. People are literally malnourished spiritually, and nothing productive is being done about it. If I could, I'd spoon feed every one of you, but you know that's not a practical thing to do. You have to really keep the fire stoked by your own methodology and by the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's really all about. Spirituality is the facilitator led by the Holy Spirit to connect us closer to Jesus Christ. The early church discovered such faith potential and benefits as Paul described. The attributes are an effective antidote against the spiritual lethargy and malaise that crippled this Philippian congregation. It is so easy to become infected with such spiritual illness. Some of these symptoms usually include legalism, quarreling that transformed the church into a state of faith paralysis. Rather than submitting to such a dismal outcome, the church must overcome it. How is that accomplished? St. Paul wrote the prescription out for us 2,000 years ago. Well, part of that prescription includes rejoicing in our faith. Joy does not depend upon outward circumstances in life. The kind of joy which God offers is something that problems of life cannot steal. Now, some people would say joy is doing cartwheels down the aisle in the church or swinging off the chandeliers. That is an outward sign and more pretentious and show-offy than anything. What is the important thing is what's going on inside of you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean if we follow this prescription that we're going to lead charmed lives. But Paul said no matter what is encountered or how rough it gets, we can still rejoice in the Lord. God desires to enrich, bless, and guide our lives as Christians. Regardless of those external difficulties out there, and we all have them, it cannot afflict our inner being called the soul. However, vigilance must be taken to safeguard it. Now, another part of this prescription is peace. Anxiety is not a positive trait for a person of faith, and we know it. A worrywart is not an attractive person. If we are besieged with fear and anxiety, our faith is not going to be appealing. If non-Christians cannot see in us a legitimate difference, why should they be intrigued about our faith? Think about that. If our faith is not appealing, it's not worth it. So to have inner peace is worth more than a hefty bank account. It is priceless and a blessing. Such peace penetrates the entire person. You have to realize that. It's just not a come and go thing. It's got to be there all the time. But it frees us from paranoia and enabling us to find comfort in the Lord. You don't necessarily need, or it's not necessary to have antidepressants when it comes to your spirit. That is done by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, a lot of times we get so racked with that, we almost twist our hands. And I was reading a story the other day in an inspirational book I have, and there's a number of these stories. I've shared some of them with you, but I had, when I was in missionary orientation, I met this elderly couple who'd served in East Africa for 100 years, I guess. They were the sweetest people, but they told me this. Says, if it had been for prayer while they were on the mission field, they wouldn't have survived. See, they were in Kenya in the 1950s, and some of you may have heard of the Mau Mau. They were a terrorist group that wanted independence for Kenya, but they did it very violently. And if you were not African, you were a fair game to be killed. And it turned out where their mission station was located, and they found this out afterwards from a former Mau Mau, said they had intended to kill them several times, but for some reason, there was always a ring of fire around their house, and they couldn't get to them. And said it got so strong, the fire was so powerful that they had to flee because the heat was so strong. And they did ask, and the missionaries told me, so they said, we didn't have any ring of fire that we knew of around it. So God was protecting them from those terrorists from killing them. Story here about a missionary in Borneo. And this didn't take place but about maybe a few years ago. He had gone into a place to move into his home, and a few years before, some missionaries had been killed and consumed by some headhunters. Now, you notice I didn't say eaten, I said consumed. And so what happened was he moved in there and he settled into his home, and there was something unsettling about this place. It disturbed him, and that each night he regularly read his Bible and prayed to alleviate his fears. One day, a tribesman appeared and said to him, let me see those bodyguards you have around you. And the missionary replied, well, I don't have any bodyguards. I'm the only one here, except when somebody comes in to cook for me and everything. But said, there's nobody here that has any. I've never had anybody come in to protect me. Well, the tribesman asked permission to search every inch of the house. And he walked through it carefully, and he became very perplexed by what he saw. He didn't see anything but the missionary's furniture and all that. That's all he saw. And so the tribesman said to him, he said, you know, when you came here, my tribe sworn an oath that we were going to kill you, and like we did those earlier missionaries. And every night we intended to carry out that oath, but there always stood around your house 100 bodyguards. And the missionary was just standing there with his jaw dropping. He thought, well, what are they seeing that I don't? And they were, these bodyguards had weapons in their hand. And the tribesmen were afraid. And finally, there was a man in the tribe who said he hated God but loved the devil. And he was going to go kill that missionary. And he went to that missionary's home. And those bodyguards appeared before him. He was so scared he almost had a heart attack. And he took off, never came back. So the tribesmen, the chief told the missionary, he said, don't worry, we're not going to try to kill you anymore because we want to hear more about your God who protects you the way he does. And the missionary was just really in a state of shock about this. But he said, that tribesman says, tell us about your bodyguards. What was their reason for being there? And the missionary read Psalm 34:7 to him, said, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. And you know, in less than 5 years, that missionary plus some other missionaries baptized over 75,000 of those tribesmen. And another thing, the man who said he hated God and loved the devil became a devout Christian too shortly after. So it was through reading his scripture and study and prayer that this man was saved from death. So, am I going to say that happens every time? Well, probably not. I don't want to say that. Those earlier missionaries probably prayed a lot too. But in this case, this man was protected by God's, literally, angels. But you know, another dose of the prescription includes having an attitude of gentleness. Now, I'm going to take from a male standpoint, being gentle for a man can be difficult because we try to come across as macho. Now, does that mean the women have cornered the market on gentleness? No. We all can attain gentleness because Paul said, let your gentleness be evident to all. And Paul was very serious about this. It's very overlooked most of the time. Just imagine if every person would take on this trait, it would overturn our world literally. Paul evidently, in his serious consideration of it, called this characteristic one of the vanguards of the faith. It says right down below it, said the Lord is near. So evidently gentleness pleases our Lord every time. But you know, it's a difficult thing to attain gentleness. How many times have you been challenged by somebody? Maybe in the past few days, I got challenged last night on the phone. This friend of mine, every time we talk, if I say something, if I say the sun's rising in the east, he'll say, it's going to rise in the west. He's one of these people that never knows. I mean, he's always challenging me. He's always said, well, I don't know about, I was telling him I had some scones last night. I've never heard of a scone in my life. What is it? I said, well, if you'd ever leave Kentucky, Tennessee, or Virginia, you'd know what a scone is. I just let him have it back, you know, in full force. Well, I try to be nice to him. He takes care of my parents' graves at the cemetery, but I don't try to pull the trigger on him all the time. But every time we talk, and it's so frustrating. And let me tell you, to be gentle with somebody like that, it's nail-biting, let me tell you. It really is. But I try to understand, okay, he means well. He wants to give advice out. And so I just, a lot of times, just swallow my pride and go on. But to be gentle with some people, it takes an extra dose of love. You know it as well as I do. And it's a hand-sitting experience many times. But the idea that the Lord is so close here is a profound thought but look, you know, at the society we live in. There's not a day goes by we don't hear about killings, whether it's in Lakeland or Orlando or St. Petersburg or wherever it is. Violence even here in Bartow is very common nowadays. We live in a violent society, an abusive and abrasive society. But you know what? It's like with my friend. I try to think, well, I'm not perfect. And you know, that's the important thing. We're not perfect, but there's no excuse when we deliberately dehumanize other people because we want to feel superior over them and to attain what we want and insist that the end justifies the means. Gentleness will bulldoze such harmful elements from our lives if we permit the Holy Spirit to do so. And lastly, as the missionary that I described found out, this prescription I give needs a lot of prayer. And I've found out a lot of times prayer is one of the most elusive things we can have. And why? Well, we are so busy nowadays. Best time for me is in the mornings, but guess what? A lot of times I have many things to do. I'll put it off later, and guess what? It may be before I get to bed, before I pray. And that's horrible. And I try to prioritize that because it is so important. It's not just for my well-being, but it's for the well-being of anybody I may encounter. And I even pray for the services here, both here in Fort Meade, because that's an important aspect to do so. And I pray for all of you because actually being ordained does not mean I just stand up here and preach and do funerals and weddings. It means I try to pray for, as they used to say, the flock. And that's a very important aspect to being a minister. But we all are ministers when it comes down to it. We should pray for each other every day too, and pray for ourselves too. We must make prayer the cornerstone of our lives. It is a serious shortcoming that many people of faith neglect it so frequently. But by not being vigilant in personal prayer, it may create disillusionment, bewilderment, bickering, and lethargy among us. Now, I'm giving you this not as spiritual vitamins, but as a fact that we have to be strong in our prayer life. If we're not, a lot of things can happen. Things that we thought were sound and secure can crumble around us so fast. You take an article I was reading an old Time magazine. It was a 1929 issue. It was a quote by a man in September 29, said he was financially solid, he had everything he wanted, so he didn't need anything else. Guess what? Stock market crashed a month later. I wish they'd have done a follow-up. Not that I was gleeful in hearing that, but you just think about that. Some things we think are sound and secure can crumble all around us in just a short period of time. So we have to take everything seriously, even relationships. You know, sometimes we get mad at people. You know what? Sometimes that's the last time we see them alive. And I've known people who live with regret and guilt that they didn't say thank you or I love you or anything like that. We all have been there and done it. And so we have to keep that in mind. You know, Paul mentioned two ladies here named Euodia and Syntyche. I don't hear those names much anymore. They evidently were very strong friends of his, and also they must have been leaders in that church in Philippi. But they got into it big time, evidently. It was probably causing a church split. There was a Euodia group and a Syntyche group, and neither one of them was going to give an inch. I don't know, it could have been over the chicken casserole. Whatever it could have been something that's probably irrelevant, but the irrelevant things can cause more heartaches than anything serious. You think about that. And so Paul said in his letter, please come together. Get them together so that they can work as one, because division weakens a congregation. And that's what was happening to the Philippi church. Through prayer, we may become the faithful disciples that God desires us to be, and not spiritually lifeless zombies. Life is difficult, but as people of faith, we have access to unlimited spiritual resources. You know, I wish I'd have taken a lot of this advice years ago. Why? You say, did I neglect it? It's because, like I said, we get caught up. We think we can fix it ourselves. We cannot fix anything ourselves in reality. We have to ask for God's help to do it. Think about that. Even when you're going to the doctor, you know, I've shared this with you. I'm a chicken when it goes to the doctor. I'm expecting, oh, is he going to give me the report back? You know, we've all been there and done it. But you know, God has watched out for all of us through the years. Do you think God's going to give up on us yet? I don't think so. But that's where prayer comes in, and it cements our faith closer to Him than we could ever imagine there. And, you know, we do have unlimited spiritual resources, and we can have an unshakable joy, a supernatural peace and gentleness that the world knows not. Our mindset must be focused on prayer and the things of God. This is God's prescription as given to the Apostle Paul. I don't know of anything better. I really don't. But our decision must be if we are going to permit our lives to be marked by those characteristics that Paul wrote down here in chapter 4. It must be a life of continual obedience to the Lord for any success to happen. So remember that every day, whether it's morning or noon or bedtime, say a prayer to God and ask God to help you in whatever struggle or struggles you're going through. God can do things that we cannot do. And, you know, some of us, I mean, most of us are very well educated. But education doesn't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to God's help, does it? And so that's where we have to stop and and say, hey, God, I've had it. You have to take over. And again, you know, our pride stands in the way. What was it in Scripture? Pride goeth before the fall. It's very true, because we get stubborn in our own self, whatever it may be. So don't allow pride to be your downfall, because pride will only cause a more separation between God and us. So think about that when you're challenged with things. Think about that when you're encountering some problems that you don't know how to deal with. God can be there. And does that sound simplistic? Does that sound idiotic to somebody? It probably does. But it works every time. Don't forget that. Don't forget. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you allow us to come to you any time of day or night with issues and problems that seems to be strangling us to death. Help us, O God. We know you are the one that can put things back together where at one time it seemed impossible. Help us and guide us and lead us in all things. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.